Our sermon today is based on a reading from Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Soon afterwards, after healing the centurion's servant, the story we heard last week, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. We thank you, God, for the healing and the hope that come to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus must have had a wonderful relationship with his mother, Mary. Oh, sure, he had his sassy pants moments. Remember that time he told her he had to be in his father's house? So why was she looking for him anywhere else in Jerusalem but the temple? The time she said to him at the wedding in Cana, "They have no wine," and he responded, "What does that have to do with me?" But he was always obedient and deferential to her. And as we heard from Margaret's scripture reading, even as he was nearing death, he had her well-being in mind, bequeathing her to the beloved disciple John. Jesus knew what a hard life a widow would have in those treacherous times. He knew widows needed someone to care for them. Otherwise, they would be reduced to poverty or even prostitution just to survive. I wonder if he thought of his mother when he saw the widow of Nain coming down the hill towards him, leading the funeral procession for her only son. He saw the entourage and immediately assessed what was going on, and his heart was moved with compassion. He had the utmost empathy and sympathy for her. He felt for her. He felt her fearful vibes that intermingled with her sorrow. Not only had she lost her only son, she had lost her future. Once her son was buried, what would happen to her? Her mind was full of aching, racing thoughts. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Why was it him and not me? Her son was her sole support. Now that he was gone, there was only deprivation and desperation ahead of her. With no one to work and take care of her, she could very well find herself homeless and helpless, begging for sustenance, scraping by, forlorn and forsaken, an object of pity. The looming darkness of her future doubled her tears and clenched her breaking heart even more. Jesus knew it. He knew exactly what she was thinking and feeling. He took in the scene. All the people accompanying her, the professional mourners wailing and weeping, the people carrying the body. It wasn't in a casket, it was in a wicker basket-like or hammock-like device, and the bearers hefted it on poles on their shoulders. They were heading to the caves outside of town where the bodies were placed. In a year or so, after the body completely decomposed, the bones would be collected and placed in a box called an ossuary, and then they would be placed in a tomb. It was wonderful to see so many people had come to mourn with this bereaved mother to show their support in her sadness. But what about after? What would happen when they came back up the hill to the city? Who would be there for her? That's how it often happens after a death. In the first few days, there were plenty of cards and meals and phone calls and visits. But then, as life goes on and everyone returns to their routines, the initial shows of support begin to taper off. That's just how it is sometimes. Jesus knew what this poor mother was facing, and he knew what he could do to gladden her heart again. He went up to the bier and actually touched it. Perhaps the people watching gasped collectively, "Oh no, he was touching a bier. This contact with a dead body would make him unclean." Now, the bearers knew that their task would render them unclean, but they were already prepared to take the steps to cleanse themselves after the burial. This was a bold thing for Jesus to do. As with the centurion's servant, there was always a deep concern about someone becoming unclean. That's why the centurion didn't ask Jesus to come to his home. If he did so, a Jew entering a Gentile's house, Jesus would become unclean and might be subject to scorn and ostracism from his fellow Jews. But once again, Jesus showed he was not very concerned about the nuances of clean versus unclean. There were other important matters at stake that made it necessary to sweep aside the dictums of the day. Matters like healing, like helping, matters like giving someone hope. Two crowds were on a collision course. Life and death met face to face. One was going downhill. One was coming up the hill. Who would dominate the path? Jesus made eye contact with the mourning mother and said something startling. Do not weep. I imagine if the woman wasn't already in shock over her sudden loss and not knowing who Jesus was, she might have screamed back at him, don't weep, don't weep. What an insensitive thing to say, don't weep. I've just lost my son, my one and only son. I'm all alone in the world now. My future is bleak. I may find myself out in the street and you say, don't weep. How could she have known that only recently Jesus had assured his listeners, blessed are you who mourn now, for you will laugh. And he was going to drive home this point right here, right now, with her. Because in Jesus, every one of God's promises is a yes and amen. Then Jesus touched the bier, and the bearers were so startled at the interruption, they stopped walking. What was the stranger doing? Why was he stepping forward like this? Maybe they thought he just stopped them because he wanted to pay his respects to the deceased. It's like when we were kids outside playing, if a funeral procession happened to come down the street, we would stop and stand still until it passed to show our respect. As the bearers stood there waiting to see what would happen, without further fanfare, Jesus spoke, young man, I say to you, rise, rise up, come back to life, come back to your mother, she needs you. I repel the disruption of death and darkness and proclaim the power of God to heal and reveal. This incident was a foreshadowing of Jesus' own death and resurrection. Did he think about his own mother then and how she would weep when he died? Did that image of Mary in tears move his heart and make him decide he never wanted anyone to feel like that, forsaken, abandoned, aimless, alone? It would be as the psalmist said, weeping would endure for the night, but joy would come in the morning, Easter morning. Jesus was not Mary's only son, but he was the only son who could perform a miracle and banish heartbreak and sorrow. He was the only son who could bring to bear God's promises of healing and hope. He was the only son who could conquer death and bring new life to all. You see, the story isn't just about one bereaved mother and her son's physical death. It's also a story, an allegory, a story to which we can relate about how Jesus, through God's love and power, can heal and restore broken relationships and bring closure and assurance to all mothers who mourn. There are mothers in our world who haven't heard from their son or daughter for many long years. Perhaps there was a family fight, a silly argument over something someone said, and someone left, or someone now refuses to have any contact with the family. And mothers are weeping and mourning over that, wishing to take back the hurtful words or undo the harmful acts and find restoration and healing. There are mothers who are willing to do whatever it takes just to have their child back. We can see in this story how Jesus' love can make that possible. It's not his will or God's will that anyone be reduced to tears, left longing and languishing, agonizing over the past and desperate for a better future. Jesus can, and Jesus wants to heal those rifts and fill those ravines that separate mothers and fathers and their sons and daughters, ravines and chasms as stark and seemingly impassable, such as indifference, addiction, imprisonment, even death. Jesus is yet the only son who can take our mourning and turn it into joy. He is the only son who can raise up our belief from the bier and give us hope and happiness once again. He conquered illness. He conquered death. It wasn't something he would only do back in the day. He is still the only son who can make clean what was unclean and to bring life to the dead. This story is also an allegory about our own revitalizing. Once we were dead, spiritually dead, dead in sin, about to be carried away to a place of no return. And then Jesus came upon us, lying in our bleak biers, and his heart was moved with compassion for us. He didn't want us to end up on the outskirts with never a chance to discover God's will for our lives and God's power in our lives. He came near, and he touched our bier. We heard his voice calling to us, "Rise," and we sat up. His voice was that powerful, powerful enough to blast through darkness and break down the walls of sin and death. We were restored, resuscitated, ready to follow him, the only son who can bring us all back to life so that we too can glorify God. The people who saw this wonderful miracle were astounded and fearful, but they knew it was a miracle from God. They proclaimed God had visited God's people. Some versions add, for good. God had come to do good things, and God had come to stay forever, to stay for good. We join that proclamation. A great prophet has risen among us, one who knows how we feel, for he has endured what we have endured. One who takes away our sorrow and brings us out of death and back into life. The only son who can bring us into the sun and the warmth of God's never-ending love. Let us pray. Dear God, we are so grateful you have sent your Son, Jesus, to dwell among us and to offer us life and love, hope and happiness. He is the only Son that can restore us and break the bonds of despair and loneliness. Hear our prayer this day, God, as we ask for healing for all mothers and fathers, too, whose children are seemingly lost to them. May the light of the only Son shine like the sun upon them and bring them together for good in your kingdom. Amen.
Oh, so are weary and troubled. No light in darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will soon strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed, and we follow him there. Over us sin no more has dominion, for more than the conquerors we are. Lift your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will seem strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe and him all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will turn strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the lines of earth will turn strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.